We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
I guess so. It also depends on what midfielders you're paying up for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll get to midfield, but I'm not enthralled of paying $9,200 for James Ward-Prowse on this slate.
Yeah, I think you could make the argument that you don't have to pay up at all. Hello and welcome back to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. My name is Andrew Laird. Joining me on, what is today, Thursday, September 10th, is Jordan Cooper to talk about some Premier League action. Jordan, it feels like we were only talking a few weeks ago about the Premier League, and yet it's back again.
Well, that's good. We have a nice quick turnaround. The last slate of the year, of last season, I guess, Big Ten game slate, I came in third.
Oh, yeah, King of the Pitch.
Right. The kick in the ass was that my kick of the pitch entry came in third, and my cash lineup was like the second highest score on the entire slate in any contest.
Oh, no.
With the negative correlation. But it turned out that no goalkeeper mattered.
Right.
So I played like, what, Robertson, and then the goalkeeper against him in my cash lineup because I wasn't playing much Liverpool. And that ended up with like a 185 that would have won the king of the pitch. It would have came in second in like the large field GPP. But like, I'm not complaining. I had two king of the pitch entries. I only played a handful of qualifiers, so it's not like I had that much money in. One of my entries, I got way too cute for a 100-man contest. I mean, I played Gylfi Sigurdsson just out of spite. Just like, I don't think anyone's going to play him. Everton's in a good spot. He's like 3% owned. He fills a forward spot. And I want to win King of the Pitch so I could come on this podcast and say, in Gylfi we trust. And he like scored like 3 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And then I switched up my whole, like, I didn't play like any of the chalk. So that lineup failed. But the other King of the Pitch lineup pretty much won it with a dinky do with Callum Wilson, who didn't do well. But Ismaili Sarr had like a 20-point game without a goal. And like no one played him in cash other than me, and I played him in like half my lineups. Because Watford needed to win that game.
Yeah.
I mean, I went with the – in that last slate, I tend to go with I don't want to call it narratives, but when in doubt, I'm going the teams that need to score. I want their playmakers. I want the guys that are going to be the most active, going to play 90, and especially if they're under 6K. Like, just go for that, and it managed to work out. I got my McGinn in cash assist. He put up, like, 15 points. So, like, playing the Luis Pacheco cash with flair style has been quite profitable for me.
If you told me that slate was 10 years ago, I would have believed you.
Right. It feels like it's so long ago, but I mean, I remember the bare basics of it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, a lot of times you forget what the last slate was like 3 days later.
Yeah. I'll
take your word for it. Obama had a hat trick and I didn't even have him.
And yet still place that high. I don't, to be honest, I don't.
Well, I mean, the good thing about the season, this new season starting pretty quick turnaround, is that like the teams really haven't changed much. Other than one, like Chelsea has.
Yeah. I mean, there are some teams that have changed a decent amount. We also have new teams that we have to deal with, including one on this first slate. Although they're basically similar to what they were last year, but it's at least a new team to know. But yeah, I mean, I guess we saw, you know, they've had some preseason matches and even some guys played international, so they're theoretically fit. Like, they haven't had like a true preseason, but I guess I'm guessing that like not flying to the U.S. and Saudi Arabia and Japan for preseason matches is going to benefit them. That's just a thought. But yeah, so the opening DFS slate of the season is a three-gamer. It was originally a two-gamer for two games at 10 Eastern, and the Premier League decided to switch things up, and now we have a three-game, three-start time slate with Liverpool. So, yay.
Yeah, but I don't think we have to worry that much. I actually think that the most important lineup is in the early game.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
I mean, in my opinion, based on the slate, I mean, Liverpool lineup, you could pretty much predict. Newcastle, West Ham, pretty much predictable. Southampton's pretty much predictable. And I think the Crystal Palace lineup is the one that matters the most when it comes to, like, mid-range value. So, like, I'm not necessarily treating this as, like, oh, I can't play Jared Bowen because he's in the late game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming he's starting.
The Newcastle one's trickier than I think you're giving it credit to.
Well, do you think Ryan Fraser's just going to walk in and start?
Well, like, Richie is questionable now. And
they still got Shelby there. Like, yeah. I on this slate, yes, for, like, GPPs, I guess it does matter. But I think the Newcastle situation is at their prices currently on the slate are not like priorities. In fact, like I
agree with that. Yeah.
I think the best play on Newcastle is none of their set piece takers.
Could be. Yeah. I'll agree with you on that part.
So let's go over the three games. We have the early one, 10 a.m. Eastern. Southampton is a slight plus 143 road favorite at Crystal Palace. That's the lowest total on the slate, 2.25. Then in the late game, West Ham is a plus 115 favorite at home with a 2.5 total. And then the middle game is Liverpool at home, minus 350 and moving up. Home favorite against Leeds, the newly promoted side, mm-hmm. with a slightly over 3 total. It's nice to. I don't know if it's nice or not nice to see Leeds in the Premier League again.
Why is it not nice?
Well, Leeds is not necessarily a well-liked team.
Oh,
like historically,
right?
Like the hate for Leeds goes before I even followed like EPL. So, but I know that, you know, Leeds is a newly promoted team, but historically they're one of the big clubs in England. I mean, you can kind of say the same thing for, like, Aston Villa. Like, a lot of people now view Aston Villa as the team that bounces up and down, but Aston Villa, like, historically are considered a big club. Same for Newcastle, right?
For sure.
Newcastle's horrible, but, I mean, historically they're a big club.
Yeah.
And then teams like Man City and Chelsea are teams that were historically not big clubs.
Right. They're just fake money clubs.
Right.
Yeah. I think the one kicker with Liverpool is Trent Alexander-Arnold. I was writing my article and I'm like, I think everyone will have him, but there's a possibility he doesn't start. Like, he hasn't played at all in the preseason and he's like just started training. So I think that throws a wrench into things a little
bit. Who would play instead? Would they play like
Williams, Nico Williams?
They play Nico Williams. But I mean, all that does is like switch you on to, well, if Trent Alexander-Arnold isn't in, you just play Andrew Robertson. The problem comes in is, well, what happens if you're playing both in your line?
Right.
Well, then you switch Trent Alexander-Arnold in utility to like Matt Ritchie or something from the West Ham Newcastle game.
He might not play either, though.
But then you switch it to someone else.
Right. Well, obviously you have to switch it. Yeah. But I'm just saying that I think that's the only real question mark from that team.
Right.
But yeah, Crystal Palace is the interesting
one. The big key on this slate is in the forward spot of, are you playing Salah Mané or are you not?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be high owned in GPP. I mean, they're the highest goal scoring odd. Yeah. Right? I mean, we're talking about Salah with minus 170 to score, Mané minus 145 to score. I think it's quite weird to see. I don't know if this is just, is this an error on your cheat sheet? But is Wijnaldum have higher goal scoring odds than Roberto Firmino? That has to be an error. Wijnaldum can't be plus 100 to score.
I mean, that's a feed from FanDuel. So let me see if FanDuel has that.
It's horrible odds. Don't take that.
Yeah, I was going to say that's poor.
Just about, I mean, I'm looking here going like he's 3,700 in the midfield. Why is he plus 100 to score?
Yeah, they have him at plus 105.
Really?
Yeah.
Are there other can you go by necessarily DraftKings or FanDuel? There are other sports books out there.
There are.
That we may not mention because they're not inside the United States.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that's not a good line.
I would assume it's not a good one either.
Right, because you would expect Wijnaldum to not only not be plus 100, but be more like plus 650 or something.
He's plus 600 at DraftKings.
Unnamed. At DraftKings, okay. Yeah, so this must just be an error. But at least it's an error in a way that like you shouldn't bet at all.
Well, it's more like you're not – there's no reason for you to look at Wijnaldum and be like, oh, I should
– You should play him.
I should play him. Because that's a really cheap price for those goal odds.
Yeah, but what ends up happening is that we see the starting lineup and he's like the center forward. Right? Or something like that. He could be. I mean, he gets up on set pieces, so it's not happening. I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
It could be something. We say this and some weird thing happens with the Liverpool starting lineup.
I think they must have seen the rumors that he might go to Barcelona and they're like, oh, he must be very good. We should not get burned on plus 600 when he scores.
Right, maybe it's just due to the fact that FanDuel lines are horrible.
Could be that too.
But with the opportunity cost at forward, this slate being like there aren't that many options. I mean, it's a three-game slate. But I don't necessarily think, like for me, I'm more likely to play Salah or Mane if Trent Alexander-Arnold doesn't play. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Just from a lineup construction perspective of like TAA is 8,000, Robertson's 7,100. If you wanted to play both of them, you're not playing Salah or Mane, or you're not playing Bowen. But if you take away an 8K defender, then I have the money to go up. Because it really comes down to, I know we're switching positions, but it's based on the construction of why play James Ward-Prowse at 9,200? When you could play Salah Mane for 300 or 1,100 more.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there's definitely the Salah TAA build that you can get away with in cash.
You can, but that means you're not playing Robertson for 7,100. Or you're playing two cheap midfielders, but I'm not sure if that build is optimal.
Yeah, I don't know if it is either. There's a dirt cheap defender I think everybody plays.
But I think that your build could easily be three defenders.
Absolutely. But it's three defenders. It's three defenders because two of them are from Liverpool.
Right, exactly.
Like you're not, one it's of not them. Like a three defender because there's so many defenders. Like it just happens that the best value on the slate is a defender, and Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson are defenders.
Right.
I mean, I think there are plenty of forwards. I mean, there are enough forwards to play. I don't think you're struggling. It just matters of how risky you're willing to get.
I guess so. It also depends on what midfielders you're paying up for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll get to midfield, but I'm not enthralled of paying $9,200 for James Ward-Prowse on this slate.
Yeah, I think you could make the argument that you don't have to pay up at all.
No, you can make that argument. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you're playing 3K midfielders. Like, you're not down that low. I'm thinking more in the 5 to 6K range.
I think that's where you're more likely to find them.
Okay.
But I think there is a one possible one that you could play. I don't know, he's not a lock to start, but we'll know, like you said, that Crystal Palace lineup is probably the most important one, and it's first, so we'll get it.
Right. I mean, it really boils down to what one or two of three different players, or potentially four. Hey, maybe PBA is back. Maybe Patrick Van Arnold's back, and we don't even get Mitchell.
True.
At $2,600, a defender.
Yeah.
But I still think that the core thing on the slate is what you do with the Liverpool forwards, because they're obviously the highest chance to score.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've seen, it's not like they have high floors. You're paying for their goal odds.
Mm-hmm.
They'll give you a little higher floor than some of the Man City forwards. I mean, it's not like you're sitting there with...
I don't know about that, actually.
Equally. I mean...
They don't really draw that many fouls.
That Slomani get like 6 to 8 points without a goal.
Sure. I mean, Salah's had some monster floor games still.
Right.
But
right, the guy that I would be scared to play. I mean, no way do you play Danny Ings for 9K in cash.
No.
Okay. I mean, he'll be low owned in GPP for a 3-game slate. Go for it.
Yeah, he will be.
And you play Bowen over Antonio in cash 10 out of 10 times.
Yes.
For those prices.
I'll put it at 9 out of 10.
Okay.
I think there's a day where I don't, but it's not this one. You're really going to fade a guy who had 60 points in cash?
Yeah, he has 4 goals.
60.4, or 0.5, excuse me. Yeah, he had 9 shots. That team is not in the Premier League anymore.
Okay. Yeah, one game. Great.
Yeah.
Do I get that this game? I don't know.
Yeah.
Then he was super high on the next game and put up like nothing.
No, he scored.
Oh, he did. Okay. Yeah, okay. And then the game after that, he was still super high on and did nothing.
No, he scored again. And then he didn't score.
Okay. I think one was a showdown slate or something.
Oh, maybe, yeah. That was 4 goals, 1-1, and then 0, obviously against Aston Villa in 45 minutes.
But you'd have to consider Bowen like in this range to be like the highest floor forward play. Share set pieces for West Ham at home as a favorite.
Totally agree.
See a lock at 8,300? No, I think he's efficiently priced.
Agreed.
I don't think he's underpriced. I think he's completely efficiently priced. I think the guys that we need to talk about are the forward eligible players from Crystal Palace.
Yes.
Including a guy straight out of Compton. It's easy E. It's easy E, right?
Eze.
Eze? Easy E. I want to call him easy E because it's easy E. It says that right on the screen.
Yeah. He took set pieces for QPR last year. And he's based on his QPR numbers, you obviously want him on this slate. But we don't know if he's going to get them. For Crystal Palace, they had a friendly earlier where Jordan Ayew was taking sets. I think the Crystal Palace corner situation is like, I don't think there's any way to know what it's going to be, even once we see the lineup.
But from his open play value, I mean, if Easy starts, Eze, I want to call him Easy. I just want to constantly call him Easy.
I specifically searched like some highlights for him, not to actually see the highlights, but to see what the announcer said. And they said Eze, although that doesn't mean anything. These guys also say Martinez for Martinez. So if you want to keep calling him Easy E, because Easy is too, no pun intended, too easy. Of course, you're going to call him Easy E, but I'm going to go with Eze.
Okay. But I mean, his open play value has to be good also.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
I mean, if he's not in, I mean, in the forward position, I mean, I'm looking at Andros Townsend at 5,800, Zaha at 6,700. Mm-hmm. I mean, I prefer Ayu at 6,800 if he was playing wide with Benteke in, not necessarily as a center forward.
I think they're all fine. Like, I'm playing them all over, like, Almiron or Callum Wilson if he starts. Like, it gets ugly after that.
Right, but I mean, you would consider doing the dinky do with like two cheap guys, but there's just not. Are you really looking to jam in like James Ward-Prowse and Matt Ritchie and also play like Allison a goalkeeper? I don't necessarily think that's optimal.
Right.
I mean, it provides you a high floor, but like no ceiling. So like if goals get scored this late, you're screwed.
Right. It's no ceiling in a game Liverpool in a slate with Liverpool with a total over three.
Right. I don't expect Callum Wilson to be any type of different player for Newcastle that he was for Bournemouth.
He could be worse.
Right. Truthfully, yes, you're right. He could be worse. And I know, like, in the late game for West Ham, like, if Yarmolenko starts, we'll never know. And he's efficiently priced for how long he would intend to play in that game.
Right.
You're not going to see Yarmolenko play 90.
No. Yeah, I don't see anybody in that range.
But I think the construction would be is that you're playing like one of these players.
Yes.
You're not playing two of them. It's a type of thing where like you're playing Bowen and then one of those guys, or Salah and one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Which one depends on the Crystal Palace lineup.
Right.
And you're more likely to play like Salah and Bowen together if like Eze isn't in and Luka Milivojevic is in.
I was actually, on the other hand, one guy who has been playing a little bit in the preseason who I don't expect to start only because he doesn't usually is Max Meyer. And if Meyer starts, then you can play Salah, Bowen, and Eze or and Zaha. Like you could play three of those guys if you wanted to.
Right. Or you could pay up for James Ward-Prowse or play Matt. You could do everything you want. Max Meyer's 3K.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Palace lineup is the most important, and it's the first game. So, that, like, I'm fine with this slate.
Yeah.
The Palace was the 3 o'clock game? Ugh. You have to set up 2v2s all the time.
Right.
Here's the worst case scenario is that I'm doing, like, a 2v2 on Bowen for some odd reason not starting.
Yeah, and then you end up with, like, Redmond and Walker Peters instead of Bowen and Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Right, or something, or you leave the 200 and you get Antonio. It's like, okay, there are worse things in the world that could happen.
That's fair, yeah.
Right. But I think Bowen starts, so I don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone else at forward that is worth anything?
No.
I mean, you're not, on this slate, unless you're being contrarian GPPs, you're not playing anyone from Leeds.
I don't think so.
Like, this is not the slate where we learn about Leeds. Like, who's the best place for Leeds? Who cares?
Right.
Humongous underdogs at Anfield with a three-game slate. GPP, sure, but cash game, you know, no one's touching my lineup.
Yeah, I don't even know why you would do it in GPP. Like, I don't think it's – I think there are other ways to – like, that's when you play Danny Ings at 9,200 or 9,000.
Right. So, a midfield. Is James Ward-Prowse worth 9,200 on the slate? I don't think so.
I think he's actually efficiently priced.
I think he's overpriced. In comparison to the, if Ward-Prowse is 9,200, Salah should be 11,000. Bowen should be, I think Bowen and Ward-Prowse should be equally priced.
No, Ward-Prowse has penalties. Or at least he did until Ings was chasing the golden boot. Like, I think that's built in.
I mean, you have to admit that Ward-Prowse has the highest floor out of all these midfielders.
Absolutely.
But you're paying through the nose for it.
Yeah.
Ward-Prowse's, you know, floor outcome could be 8 to 10 points, and Like, you're sitting there when you roster him going, well, he's not going to just give me four or five. Like, I'll probably get 10 out of him.
Mm-hmm.
But you're paying $9,200 for that.
Right.
For that privilege. You could get 10 out of a lot of players that are $2,000 cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Such as Matt Ritchie. If he plays.
Mm-hmm.
So between these Newcastle guys, so I think that's the main team that you'd be looking for in this range. Because we don't expect, like, Robert Snodgrass to start.
Right.
Right?
No.
We don't expect, I don't think Ryan Fraser. I mean, still Ryan Fraser.
It sounds
Fraser,
like Fraser's not starting.
Right. I mean, he just joined the team, so right. I don't see anything.
Yeah, it's Saint-Maximin.
Right. Well, I'm looking at, like, Richie Shelvey is 6,000 and ASM is 6,500. And yeah. I think price point for dollar, I think Saint-Maximin is the better play out of the three of them.
Totally agree.
And then you have Almiron there also, who's forward eligible. But I think if you're playing Almiron, you're playing him because he's forward eligible, not because he's 6,300 in a midfield spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this range, like we're talking about somewhere in like the 6 to 7K range, I prefer Robertson at 7,100 over all of these.
That's what I was going to ask. It's really Robertson or ASM.
Or both. Why can't you play both of them?
Oh, you could. I'm just saying, right. Like if you're comparing, because I think ASM's better than all the midfielders in the range.
Yes, I agree with you. But the defenders have clean sheet bonus upside, so I mean you get that equity.
Mm-hmm.
So like if it's down to a 7K type player and I have a utility position, I'd rather play Robertson over any of these guys, over Richie at 7,600.
Would you play ASM over the Crystal Palace guys?
Pretty much, unless I could peg one down for all the set pieces. I think the problem with the Palace lineup may be that we don't even know where they're going to go.
Yeah.
Or they'll be split so much that it's not going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're going in going, oh, this guy is going to get all the set pieces, well, you could easily be wrong. Because Luke could start and then Townsend takes them all. I mean, you really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. You get a McCarthy sighting and then it really screws everything.
Yeah. The only thing you know is that it's not Zaha.
Right. And who knows? We may get it. Liverpool may line up and we may see no Trent Alexander-Arnold and we see Milner in the midfield or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then he could take set pieces.
Yep. I don't think I play him, though.
I don't think you'll have the option to.
Well, you do if you have ASM in your lineup, you could just go to Milner if he's starting.
Right. I just don't think you'll have the option to if you're switching out a guy that would be in a forward position.
Correct. Correct.
Like if you're playing Eazy-E. I'm just going to call him Eazy-E.
I know.
Why not? But I mean, once we get past these guys, I mean, you get down to like, then you get to like the Noble or Suchek.
Mm-hmm.
Noble could take set pieces.
He absolutely could.
West Ham could go. I mean, not just Bowen. I think he's okay. He's not someone that if he's in the line, if I see a normal West Ham lineup and it's Noble and Bowen and Cresswell, like if he's the last guy and I have 5,200, okay. Acceptable.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's fine. But I'd rather take Luka if he's in at 4,500.
Yeah, I'd rather just like not not be in the range.
He could be in the range. I'm just saying that there's more upside with Milivojevic in the lineup at 4,500 than there is with Noble or
Why?
Suchek.
Why is it any different?
No, Luka could start. Let's say we get Eazy-E, Townsend, and Milivojevic in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
All three of them. Like, it could turn out that one of them takes all of the set pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Luke is only 4,500, so like in the worst case scenario that he takes none and he's not even on penalty kick duty anymore and he's sitting there with 4 points, like it's not the end of the world. It's 4,500. But if Luka is on all set pieces, he's 4,500. He ends up with 14 points. I mean, like the upside is there. Noble's not going to be in that situation. Suchek's not going to be in that situation.
Wait, why isn't Noble going to be in that situation?
Why is what?
Why isn't Noble in that situation?
Well, because we've seen what West Ham does. Doble can take some, and Bowen takes some, and Creswell takes some. We've seen Luka Milivojevic priced at 6,500, 7,000 on a slate like this.
Mm-hmm.
On top of penalty kick duty. I'm not saying he's a lock or anything, that if he's in the lineup, but I'm saying if I'm in this range, I'm more likely to take him over Fabinho.
Yes.
Over Declan Rice, over Schlupp.
Sure.
Schlupp's in the lineup. I don't expect who knows? We may see, you're never going to know because it's the late game, on what Felipe Anderson or Fornals in. But Fornals has no floor. Felipe just, I don't know what happened to him. He used to be good.
Yeah.
And he just fell out of favor and barely plays anymore. Then after that, you're dead. After that, you're playing Wijnaldum, hoping that he's going to be a center forward based on those goal scores. All right, FanDuel says he's plus 100 to score. How do you?
Yeah.
You got to play him at 3,700. Lanzini's 3,400. I mean, what has happened to the West Ham team? Pretty much all the starters that we're used to from a year ago are don't even play anymore.
Yeah.
What happened to Atsu for Newcastle? He was good for a while, and now he doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Then write down the last player. 3K. Never know. Maybe he starts.
I've been posting all my season-long rankings, and Jack Wilshere is dead last in all of them. That's how I know I'm done.
Right. So a defender, is it just the top two? Is it the top two? It's TAA, Robertson, and then it's a drop, and then it doesn't matter.
And then it's Mitchell.
Right. I think everyone in between is just efficiently priced, whatever.
I think you could make the argument that you play Mitchell even if he doesn't start.
Really?
No. I'm just saying 2,600 is pretty helpful.
Right. He's 2,600, probably starting. I mean, Patrick Van Aanholt is injured. Mm-hmm. He's questionable. It's unlikely to play. Mitchell's been playing in the preseason.
Right.
He's a true fullback.
He is.
He isn't one of these, converted center backs that just happens to play wide and they're just filling in. He's an actual attacking fullback. He's 2,600. And Crystal Palace isn't a big underdog or anything. They're at home.
The only thing with Mitchell is, or with Van Aanholt being out, is Nathan Ferguson is the other option at left back. I think he's also hurt, which is why Mitchell will be in, but it's possible that Ferguson gets the call, and he's 2,500. Yeah.
Right. So there's your punt play. That's for cash games, especially.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The GBP, you could fade that. If he only ends up with 3 points, you may be better off with a center back that just happens to score.
Right.
I think in cash games, he'll be extremely popular in three games. I think that's going to be the ownership. The ownership's going to be on the Liverpool defenders, because we see now that they both split set pieces. They both split corners, depending on what side it's on.
Yeah.
And they're both – that Liverpool crosses out wide so often. I mean, they both have floors. They're in double digits.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys like – I think everyone else is efficiently priced. Creswell at 5,000, okay. Bertrand at 5,700, maybe a little overpriced.
That's really overpriced.
Kyle Walker-Peters.
Yeah, he's fine. Right. Everyone's fine. I just don't there's really no reason, at least in cash, to consider anybody if Mitchell starts.
Right. Because even if you're not playing a defender in utility, your two defenders would be Mitchell and one of the Liverpool defenders.
Right.
Even if both TA and Robertson start, and you go, I don't have the money for TA, I'm going to play Robertson instead. Okay, even that is fine.
Yep.
But I mean, that's going to be where the defensive ownership is going to be.
Do you think people play Williams?
If TA doesn't start, yeah. Yes. I could definitely see a lineup where you're playing three defenders, and you're going, Robertson, Williams, and Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more likely that those lineups have Salah or Mane in it.
Right.
Because now you have the money to spend up at somewhere. And either you either you're moving from a 6K midfielder to James Ward-Prowse, or you're moving a 6K forward to Salah or Mane. So it's more likely going to be the forwards.
Yep.
But this could be a game where you play Van Dijk. You play one of the defenders in Van Dijk and go for the set piece goal.
Not that's cash. Cheap.
No, yeah. Of course. Yeah, yeah. That's okay. People.
Yeah. Goalkeeper?
I mean, if you could get to Allison, I think that's fine. But you could make a case that you could play the Leeds keeper. You can play the Leeds keeper in a lineup that you're playing both TAA and Robertson in.
Yep.
You can. I just don't think you have to go down that low. I just think, unless you're playing James Ward-Prowse or you're trying to jam in both Liverpool defenders and Salah and Bowen, I think you'll have the money to get Allison. And if you don't, I mean, then pretty much you could take either side of either of the other two games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Guaita absolutely. Or McCarthy, they're within 200 of each other.
That total Fabianski is super low.
Or Darlow, I mean. I think really the choice is, like, because the problem is that.
Successfully like, named them all.
Yeah, I know. Because there's only six. The problem in GPP is that if you're paying all the way down for Meslier on Leeds, most likely you're not playing Liverpool attackers. So who are you paying up for? Like that lineup in GPP would have like
Ings
a Ward-Prowse.
Yeah, it's a
right with Antonio or something. Which you can do, I guess. Yes, for the large field, you can do that. I think it's more likely that Liverpool stacks have like Darlow. And no, because they don't have Bowen in there because Bowen's 8,300.
Right.
So you get a Salah Mane type of lineup and Darlow with no West Ham exposure.
Mm-hmm.
That more likely. But I think based on lineup construction, I think you could pay for Allison.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. All right. Anything else?
It's three games late. What
three
else
game,
can there be?
Three games.
How many times can I say easy E? Are we going to get Crystal Palace and a lot of we're probably because, you know, the big teams end up playing on Sundays or the early game or the late game. So we're going to get a lot of Palace games. Hopefully he stays healthy. So,
he's got to be good. Like he's got to start taking set pieces so that we just always talk about him.
Right. Because if he ends up starting and like ends up being overpriced, and then we'd start making fun of him.
Right.
Like how do you play Eazy-E? It's not easy.
No, it's not easy this week.
Not easy to play him at 7,800.
Yeah.
But what happens if he ends up being like a $9,900, you know, like the Dimitri Pai, Gylfi Sigurdsson old school role where. You know, the Emiliano Buendia, where it's just, like, he does everything for Palace. You got to play Eazy-E.
Right.
That's how easy it is.
Right.
People are just going to get sick of it.
I mean, but it's what they want to hear. Those are the answers.
I don't think they want to hear it.
No? I don't know. Anybody has any follow-up for Jordan, you can find him on Twitter at Blenderhead. That's BlenderHD. I should have mentioned this beginning, but I didn't. Jordan is also the creator of the Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports, which you can find at theoryofdfs.com. Masterclass in all things daily fantasy sports. I'm about halfway through. It is excellent. Highly recommended to anybody.
Halfway through? You got it. I gave it to you like a month ago.
It's been a long time. And I, yeah.
It's 15 hours, and you only got to 7.5 of it?
You know, I might not have even gotten through 7.5 yet. I don't have a lot of podcast time.
Press the play button at least?
Yes. Yes, I did. You can find me on Twitter at RotoWireAndrew, and also available in the RotoWire Discord, which is open for all subscribers. Just go to rotowire.com/chat to join. Jordan, thank you for that, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.